Stage 54, item 35, The Investigator, a new play by Reuben Ship, starring John Draney. Produced and directed by Andrew Allen, with music composed and conducted by Lucio Agostini. The concluding broadcast of Stage 54, The Investigator, by Reuben Ship.
Hello?
Hello, this is Mike Garson. I've got to talk to you.
Mike, my plane leaves in 30 minutes.
I'm in the lobby.
Mike, we went all over it this afternoon.
Just give me 5 minutes.
No use, Mike. I'm going through with it. I thought I'd made that pretty clear.
I met with the committee after I left you.
Oh?
They asked me to see you again.
It won't do any good. Goodbye, Mike.
Wait, don't hang up. Look, we can't talk over the phone. Let me come up.
I'm leaving for the airport.
I'll ride out there with you.
Mike, what's the use? Oh, all right. Meet me out front.
You've got to call off the hearings.
It's too late now, even if I wanted to. You saw the spread it got in the papers?
You can dream up an excuse. You're an expert at it. A postponement, illness, anything.
Save your breath, Mike.
You realize what'll happen if you get yourself out in a limb?
I've been out there before. Way out.
Now, this time the committee won't go along with you.
I run the committee. It doesn't run me.
Do you run the party, too? One more error and they'll let you have it.
You're a smart politician, Mike, but you've guessed wrong before.
I'm not guessing. I'm warning you. I'm speaking for the party now. You're going too far.
I've heard that before.
This time it isn't just some crackpot college pinko or some lousy departmental assistant. This man is too big.
No one is too big. There's no one so high or so low as to make him immune to investigation where there's the slightest trace of evidence that his actions or beliefs are detrimental to the interests of this country.
That kind of talk is
all right. I'm not just talking, Mike. I'm going ahead with this. You can't stop me. The committee can't stop me. The whole party can't stop me. Nothing can stop me. Oh, stewardess.
I'll be with you in a moment, sir. Fasten your safety belt, please. Fasten your safety belt.
Your attention, please. This is Captain Jarvis, chief pilot speaking. We have developed some trouble in one of our starboard motors, but there is no cause for alarm. I repeat, there is no cause for alarm. However, we are bucking severe headwinds and having difficulty maintaining altitude. I have decided to turn back rather than continue with one motor not functioning. We regret the delay, but arrangements are being made for you to board another plane upon landing. Thank you.
Oh, miss?
Yes, sir.
How long will it take to get back?
About 4 hours, sir.
Oh, that means we'll be delayed another 8. I must send a wire.
You'll have time to do that at the terminal, sir.
Oh, that'll be too late. I'll write out my message and you ask the pilot to radio it back to the terminal and ask them to send it.
I'm afraid that's impossible.
You ask the pilot?
I'm sorry, sir. It's against all regulations. No personal
You know
message...
who I am?
Yes, sir, but no exceptions can
What is
be
your
made.
Name?
I'm Miss Davidson.
Miss Davidson? This message concerns an investigation I'm conducting. It is of the utmost urgency.
Well, I don't doubt that,
sir. You acknowledge the importance of my message, and yet you refuse to convey my message to the pilot.
It won't do any good, sir.
You realize that only one interpretation can be put upon your refusal, Miss Davidson.
I'm very sorry, sir.
Seems to me that you're deliberately obstructing an official investigation that is of vital concern to every loyal citizen of this country.
No, sir, but the regulations...
Miss Davidson, I'm aware that you won't be the first individual who has hidden behind so-called regulations and used them as a device to further interests directly opposed to those of the majority of loyal citizens of our country. Your uncooperative attitude can only cast the gravest doubts on your own loyalty, Miss Davidson.
I'm only doing my job. I'll speak to the pilot if you
will.
We're
on fire!
Good day, sir. My name is Martin, Inspector Martin of the Immigration Service.
Immigration? I don't understand. Where am I?
It's quite all right, sir. You're safe now. Will you follow me, sir?
Where are we? I don't seem to remember.
You'll be all right in a moment. You had a nasty shock.
The plane. Did we crash?
Yes, you crashed.
Oh, I'm alive. I've got to send a wire.
Well, there's no need for that now, sir.
This is very important. Where's a phone I can use?
There's no phone, sir.
Oh, there must be a phone around here somewhere. What is this dump anyway? I can't see anything. It's so foggy.
The fog will lift soon.
Where are the other passengers? How many survivors were there?
There were no survivors, sir.
You mean I am the only one?
There were no survivors.
What are you talking about? Are you crazy? I'm here. I'm alive, aren't I? Come on now. I want a straight answer. No double talk. You know who I am?
Yes, sir. I know all about you.
Well, let's have it then.
It would be a lot easier for you if you figure it out for yourself.
What's your name?
Inspector Martin of the Immigration Service.
All right, Martin. You say you know all about me, then you must be aware of the importance of the work I'm engaged in. In view of this, your refusal to cooperate can only cast grave doubts on your motives. I can assure you this incident will be investigated thoroughly. Now, you'll make things a lot easier on yourself if you answer my questions in a straightforward manner. Any attempt at evasion on your part can only lead me to infer that you have something to conceal. Now then, I have been in a plane crash. I ask you where I am, how I got here, where the other passengers are, and you tell me there are no survivors, and you... Oh, I see.
Yes, and the fog has lifted, hasn't it?
But I had so much to do yet. Why me? Why? All my plans.
I know how you feel, sir. Everybody feels like that at first, but you'll snap out of it. After all, you're one of the lucky ones. You're up here. Of course, you've only got a temporary visa, but I'm sure you won't have any trouble in getting a permanent visa at the main gate.
The main gate?
Yes. Just follow me, sir, to the head gatekeeper.
Well, it's about time, Martin.
Sorry I'm late, sir. I was delayed at the border.
You're always delayed at the border, Martin. Why don't you tell these immigrants where they are right off, instead of beating around the bush?
Well, I found it's better to break it gently. Regulations don't forbid it.
I know all about regulations. I've been gatekeeper for a long time. It's gross inefficiency. You young fellows think just because you've got civil service jobs, you can get away with anything. When I started in the immigration service, we had to keep on our toes, believe me. I don't know why I stay on this job. No efficiency, no cooperation. I ought to hand in my resignation. But I won't. I won't give some people the satisfaction.
Sir, I have an applicant here.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Here's the file, sir.
Applicant for permanent entry, 578293B021. Where is he? Oh, there you are. Welcome, welcome.
My name is...
Yes, yes, I know who you are. It's all down here in the record. Now, if you'll just sign this...
What is this document?
Standard form, application for permanent entry. Sign right there.
There I am.
Fine. Martin will show you to your quarters.
This way, sir.
Just a minute. Why are we going this way? Isn't that the main gate over there?
Oh, you can't go through that yet.
Why not? I signed that document.
Well, that's just an application. Before you can go through the main gate, we've got to investigate you.
Investigate me?
You'll be investigated thoroughly by the Permanent Investigating Committee on Permanent Entry. I am the chairman.
And what happens if I do not get a clean bill of health from this committee of yours?
In that case, it means deportation.
Deportation? To where?
Why, down there.
I want to state at this time, most emphatically, that I refuse to submit to any investigation by any committee whose members, for all I know, may be completely unqualified to pass judgment on me.
My good sir, are you questioning the integrity of my committee?
I make no allegations. I am making a statement on policy.
But you've got to be investigated.
I raise no objections to investigation. In fact, I welcome an investigation. My record is clean. I'm perfectly willing to subject that record to the scrutiny of any competent body. Before I do so, however, I must be satisfied as to the competence of that body. If you will submit to me a list of the names of persons eligible to sit on this tribunal, together with a list of alternate nominees, I will inform you of my approval or disapproval in each individual case, and we can then determine the composition of the committee.
My dear sir, you can't select the committee that's going to investigate you. That's unheard of up here.
Well, it's not unheard of where I come from.
You're a newcomer. You can't just barge in here and expect to change things overnight.
I'm aware of that, sir. I'm aware of that. I assure you that I have no wish to disrupt the work of your committee. I am merely making this request in order to provide a safeguard which will guarantee fair play and justice. Nor am I attempting in any way to put any pressure of any kind on either you or the members of your committee. However, may I point out that your refusal to even consider it might be construed wrongly and might lead to speculation that certain members of your committee fear that their impartiality might be challenged.
May we enter?
Why, certainly, certainly.
Forgive the intrusion. My companions and I come here on a matter of grave import.
Come right in.
My name, sir, is Oates, Titus Oates, Doctor of Philosophy.
Ah, this is a rare privilege. I've read about your career with great interest, Dr. Oates.
In a certain sense, we pursued the same line of endeavor as did my companions. May I present Torquemada, Inquisitor General of the Spanish Inquisition?
I am honored, sir.
I am very happy to make your acquaintance, Mr. Torquemada.
And this is another distinguished member of our profession, so to speak. Mr. Cotton Mather, formerly of Salem, Massachusetts.
I bid you welcome, sir.
Cotton Mather, well, this is a privilege.
And this gentleman is the distinguished jurist, Baron George Jeffreys.
How do you do, Judge?
Your servant, sir.
I see his lordship's name is not as familiar to you as that of Torquemada Mather. His lordship's fame would have been instantly known to you had I presented him as the hanging judge. Formerly of the Bloody Assizes?
Oh, the hanging judge! Why, this is a pleasure. I should have remembered the name, Judge.
No need for apologies. So few people do.
The devil take you out, sir, but enough of your jibes. The fame of the Bloody Assizes will live long after your confounded Popish plot will have been forgotten. Miserable little sneak, informer!
You dare call me that, butcher!
My friends, I beg of you. We shall be giving our new friend a false impression.
Up here, we live in peace and brotherly love.
Oh, don't apologize. You should hear what some of my pals used to call me. Well, I'm really flattered by this visit, gentlemen. Of course, I'm not really in yet. I understand I've got to be investigated first. I'd like to ask your advice. I raised a point with the gatekeeper.
The committee has already met in executive session, and your proposal has been rejected.
Ah, you seem to know a great deal about it.
That's hardly surprising, sir. We are on the committee.
You are?
We have served on it for a considerable length of time.
I assume there won't be any obstacles to my entry?
None whatever, sir. Your permanent entry is assured.
You, constitute a majority of the committee?
Yes. However, we merely serve in an advisory capacity.
The gatekeeper makes all final decisions.
We, of course, play no small part in influencing those decisions.
The gatekeeper has never, to my knowledge, used his veto.
And you gentlemen see eye to eye on most matters?
On all matters.
Invariably.
Well, I don't want to embarrass you, but it does seem peculiar to find Titus Oates, an enemy of popery, in complete agreement with Torquemada, the founder of the Inquisition.
Your point's well taken, sir, but up here, one's perspective changes. We rise above our differences.
Say rather that we have submerged our differences in the face of a treacherous and powerful enemy.
And that enemy is?
Down there.
Ah, I see. A foreign power.
It is our high purpose to awaken the apathetic multitudes to the imminent danger of an attack from within by this foreign power, which has never renounced its goal of complete domination.
We believe that purpose can best be accomplished by exposing the extent to which agents of this foreign power have infiltrated into our midst, spreading their noxious doctrine and enlisting the aid of unsuspecting dupes in a monstrous conspiracy.
But how have these subversive elements managed to enter? Who is responsible?
The gatekeeper.
The gatekeeper?
In my considered opinion, speaking as one trained in jurisprudence, the evidence is overwhelming.
Then why has he been permitted to remain in his present high position of trust?
For some time now, we have been considering ways and means of exposing the gatekeeper and forcing his resignation. We've hesitated to do so until a man could be found to take his place. Your arrival at this time is most opportune.
Gentlemen, surely you don't mean...
There is no doubt you are the man.
I am honored. But I am, after all, a newcomer. Surely one of you would be better qualified. You're familiar with the local political situation. You've studied the available evidence.
One factor outweighs all other considerations. In you, we have a man who can bring to the committee's work the latest inquisitorial techniques.
Compared to you, sir, we are mere untutored novices, and we bow to your superior knowledge and experience.
Gentlemen, I cannot find the words to express my feelings of humble gratitude at the signal honor you're conferring upon me.
Then you accept? In that case, we propose...
Just a minute, Judge. Seems to me this undertaking of ours is not without certain dangers.
We can expect to rouse some disapproval and even active opposition, but nothing so serious that we cannot cope with it.
I wasn't thinking of the lower levels of the administration, Mr. Mather. I was referring to...
You're concerned about the chief.
Frankly, yes.
You need have no fears on that score. The chief never interferes.
Rest assured, sir, we will have a free hand, provided, of course, we do not overstep legal boundaries.
Then, in all humility, I dedicate myself to the task of bringing to light the facts of this monstrous conspiracy that threatens our way of life up here. I shall pursue this objective relentlessly, disregarding all attempts at intimidation by persons in high places who may be implicated by these facts. And I shall not cease until I have fixed the blame for 1,000 years of treason.